broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 25th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio, to do so in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, the checks and balances are absolutely critical as we promote the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We reject revolution unless it's a Jesus revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, hopefully at a God, family, country-filled weekend. Welcome to the broadcast. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. Check out his collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation, and his award-winning weekly webinars, documenting the Constitution, answering questions, and a whole lot more. Speaking of answering questions, ladies and gentlemen, the big news at the top of the hour is that, hey, you know, Letitia James is going to literally steal Donald Trump's property if he doesn't come up with a massive $500 million fine. And I look at that and I just go, where's the due process in that, ladies and gentlemen? This is absolutely, look, they ought to be throwing Letitia in jail for even insinuating that you could steal somebody's property without complete due process taking place. Look, if Donald Trump has an appeal avenue, then he has the right to appeal. He doesn't have to come up with a massive $500 million fine first, or does he? What about the Eighth Amendment, you know, fines and all this kind of stuff? What about due process of law? What about, is he really convicted just because a lower court ruled something, but he still has the opportunity of appeal, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, I can go on and on. I'm incensed about this, but I'll tell you what I'm even more incensed about. It's one thing for this to happen. It's another thing for nobody to call BS, for nobody to call a halt to the con game, for nobody to be pushing for Letitia James to go to prison. She knows about due process. They know about due process. They don't care. See, and that's where America has become. This is out of control. Dr. Scott Bradley, welcome, sir.
Well, thank you, but nothing like getting, a wake-up call.
Fired up in the morning. Come on now.
Yeah, right. Come on. But the fact of the matter is that kangaroo courts have been...
I am livid about this, doctor. I can't... No one's speaking out but me, hardly.
Well, it needs to be brought to the forefront. The idea of, star chamber type courts that are just completely biased and set up to fail for those that are being accused. Those that are the accusers are literally the criminals. And it's one of those things that, like I say, you look at kangaroo courts in tin horn dictatorships and banana republics that... it's a foregone conclusion. The execution is going to happen. They got the guys loading their magazines outside the door when you're being brought in the front door to have your court, and they just take you out and execute you. And that's basically where we're going with this kind of thing. It's a tragic travesty. The American Founding Fathers had the exact opposite program, concept, intention, philosophy, whatever you want to call it, where they... biased the court system in favor of the accused to make certain they never took anybody's they never punished the innocent. But it's interesting to me that Trump, I just heard over the weekend that he's talking like he could put together possibly. Now everything I've heard until then was that he's having a hard time putting together a bond like that, and he said over the weekend that he could potentially come up with, I think he said, $454 billion.
So here's what happened. He basically got a merger between his Truth Social Media company and some private equity firm that has a bunch of money. And it's an infusion of cash of something like $3 billion or something. I don't know the number. But and if he gets that money, then he can certainly handle this. The problem with that is they say that he can't use it for loans. He can't use it for this or that. He can't use it for 6 months from within the money when it comes in. I mean, there's all kinds of rules and regulations, and if some of that gets waived, he's in good shape. But whether he can come up with the money or not, to me, isn't the point. The excessive fines is the problem with this. The idea that, hey, he's not convicted of anything if he still has an avenue of appeal, okay? So the problem here isn't, to me, the money. Now, here's what's interesting, even more so than this. While I'm on the, you know, due process side of the equation, on the thou shalt not have excessive fines idea, Donald Trump is already getting more due process than most, says Newsweek. Well, the problem I have with that whole discussion is if that's true, then we really have a problem in America. And even though I think Donald's being denied due process, I think to some degree he is getting more due process than most. Most of us would be behind bars right now trying to figure out how to defend ourselves. So on one hand, I kind of agree with Newsweek. On the other hand, what a disgrace place that puts America in today, Doctor.
You know, again, in my feeble mind, I clearly understood Newsweek magazine's biases clear back in the 1960s. I mean, it was one of my dad's favorite magazines, and he was absolutely engulfed in it constantly. But to me, their biases were just undeniable, and I think this is another testament of that, about how they will spin everything. But go back to this half a billion almost that Trump says, hey, I've about got the money, I could do this if I wanted to, but he caveats it with something else, which I think is very telling, which needs to be analyzed a little bit. And he says, but I'm not going to do it because I'm going to use it for my campaign. So the truth of the matter is that the establishment, the Banana Republic people, are trying to strip him of his ability to run a campaign because they're making him cash poor. They're going to impoverish him and make it so that he can't run a viable campaign. Now, the same thing is happening in another manner with Robert Kennedy Jr., where he is being denied Secret Service protection when he's got viable threats against him. He's got a family history. You know, there's the Billy the Kid stuff where somebody's going to get a reputation for taking him out or whatever concept that could ride there. So as Bobby Kennedy said about that decision by the Biden administration, nobody's been, 1968, since his dad's assassination, there's been nobody denied Secret Service protection except for Bobby Kennedy. And again, this is a process by which, as Bobby Kennedy puts it, they're going to try to bleed him white, which means, you know, they run him out of, you know, he needs a transfusion, okay? And so they run him out of money so he can't run a viable thing. He's paying for his own security. His campaign is suffering because of it. And literally Trump's statement that I almost got this half a billion dollar package put together, but I'm going to use it for my campaign. It's very telling, because had he, you know, determined that he's going to pay it and put up this exorbitant, unbelievable, un-Americanist fine, literally, to protect Trump Towers or whatever they're going to grab, he's it's a telling tale that says, you know,
it
what,
is
I
for sure.
Put it here,
one more aspect to this, Dr. Bradley, that I think is really important is this. Donald made a statement when he was president of the United States. I know some say that he still is, but I don't agree with that. And I don't agree that Biden took the presidency appropriately and legally, but I also don't believe it's Trump's either. It's neither of them's, in my personal opinion, to which I'm entitled, okay? Because you can't obtain it by fraud, but you also can't stay there forever. And, you know, it's a debate if Trump really got reelected. And, you know, we needed Congress to go through it, which they never did. They were derelict in their duty on January the 6th. Anyway, I digress. But here's the point. So Newsweek says Donald's getting more due process than most. I say that may be true. It doesn't change the fact that it's wrong for Donald Trump. He's not getting the due process he deserves. And that means other Americans have even less due process than President Trump or former President Trump, which I have a problem with. But here's what's happening. This has come back to bite the Donald. You say, what are you talking about, Sam? Well, Donald doesn't really believe in due process. So he's complaining about that in the media, but he's not filed anything relating to that in the courts, Doctor, which I find fascinating. But let me tell you why. Because it will be used against Donald. Headline, quote, Trump, take the guns first, go for due process second. So now they're saying take the money, take the assets first, and due process second. And if Donald brings this up in court, they're going to whip that dude out on him. And now what? Okay, none of these people believe in due process is the problem, Doctor.
Okay, now this is a critically important issue. And your statements have all been
correct. Just leave it to Sam Bushman to throw down the Yeah, I don't know if you say napalm or what, but let's just blow this sucker right up and tell the truth, shall we?
Well, okay.
Now, that's figurative. Hold on, just so everybody knows. That's a figurative statement. Blow this up. I'm just talking about let's get into the details. Let's not do anything harmful to anybody, anywhere, anytime, okay? Got it. Good. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. But Trump
was. Go ahead and skip the break, Dr. Bradley.
Okay, Trump's statement was related to the his support of red flag laws. Red flag laws are is a law that the federal government, the general government, has actually got a law in the books that encourages.
It's really the color of law, though. It's not really law, but I know what you're saying.
No, no, it's right, but it's also communist. But at any rate, I mean, that's right. That's their color. But here's what happened during Trump's administration. There was an encouragement that the states pass laws that say if anybody files some kind of concern about you, oh, my goodness, he's got guns. He could be a danger to himself or to society, blah, blah, blah. I'm speaking with broad brush terms. But basically they go to a police agency. The police agency goes to a, shall we say, a hand-picked judge that they know darn good and well what kind of decision they're going to get. They have an ex parte hearing. Ex parte means that the person that's at risk, like is being accused, has no part in it. They're not even informed it's happening. They can't have a representative there on their behalf. They can't have an attorney representative. They can't be there themselves. So here we have an ex parte, one-sided presentation. Some ex-girlfriend or boyfriend or somebody that's disgruntled, whatever, says, oh, yeah, Joe Blow he's got guns in the home. We really need to be careful with this. So the judge rules that the next morning at 0600 or 0400 or 0300, whatever time in the morning when everybody's groggy and asleep and in their pajamas, they come to the door, say, bring your guns out. We're going to confiscate them. The individual says, over my dead body, you know, when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers, they have a shootout on the porch, or maybe the guy gets shot when he runs to his nightstand to try and pull out his 9mm, whatever. And suddenly, it's like, no, no, there was no due process. This did not happen in a court setting where due process really occurred. And what Trump said, take the guns, we'll handle due process later. That's Bravo Sierra. That's un-American. This is not the way it is. And by the way, there have been people that have died because that's happened. Now, when Biden got in, they actually got a federal law passed that said, we're going to help fund states establish this kind of thing. Utah has had that on the agenda a number of years since then now that has said, we're going to try and establish due process. Look, it's not going to cost our state budget anything because the feds will ante up on it. This is absolutely where we're going. And Trump has been down this road, and Americans are not getting due process. And it is tin horn dictator, banana republic kind of stuff. And if, in fact, Trump's getting better due process, you know, that may or may not be the case. But if other Americans are not, it's even bigger travesty because, you know, they don't have the means. If somebody came to me and says, I need a $10,000, some kind of bond put in, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get $10,000 that I can say, well, I'm going to appeal this traffic ticket I got and I got to pay a $10,000 bond to do it. Where am I going to get that? Trump at least has the means maybe through some of these mergers to raise big bucks, but most Americans don't. Yeah, so Trump's going to get bit on the butt on this one, I'm afraid, too, if most people connected the dots.
Well, and that's why I connect the dots on this thing. This is serious business. Now, listen to me carefully, ladies and gentlemen, because Joe Biden is carrying Donald Trump's policy out right now. You think, oh, Joe and Donald are on opposite sides of the discussion here. Well, that's not true. Trump, take the guns first, due process second. Now, listen to the latest headline today. The Department of Justice, over the weekend, on Saturday, announced the creation of a new entity to train state and local officials on procedures to apply red flag laws that temporarily prevent certain individuals from owning a firearm. The national, quote, extremist protection order, they call it ERPO, ARPO, Resource Center, is now an entity that's been created out of the DOJ's Office of Justice Programs, OJP, I guess you call that thing, that will both educate and assist local officials when they initiate what they call legal proceedings, which I disagree with, to obtain, quote, red flag orders that rescind an individual's right to keep and bear arms, especially if they feel like they're a harm or a threat to themselves or somebody else, etc. Now, listen, the individuals to be trained will be law enforcement officials, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim services, and social service providers, as well as, listen carefully, community organizations and behavioral health organizations and behavioral whatever professionals. They go on and on. Anyway, it's a big new government entity that just got created. Donald and Joe are in agreement on this plan, right? And then it gets worse because I went to a gun store over the weekend. When I went in there, I talked to the guy, and the guy's like, yeah, we got plenty of guns. We just don't have any ammo. And I went, yeah, that's all by design. And he said, I'm afraid so. Doctor?
Well, of course, they're going to play every angle they possibly can on this thing. For example, just during the Obama administration, by unilateral arbitrary executive decision within an executive department, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Explosives guys put out new rules about people that would hand load their firearms, and not just their firearms, but their ammunition. And they made it so stringent that basically if you were going to be a hand loader and have any kind of powder there to reload your brass, you were going to have a bunker established. And it's kind of like, oh boy, we're going to make it so that nobody can do this. I mean, where are we going with this? Is that if you go buy a pound of powder, you're going to have to demonstrate or show proof that you have a bunker in your house? I mean, what's the deal? Every single turn of the way, there's an infringement, shall not be infringed. I think that's what the Second Amendment says, doesn't it? Shall not be infringed. There's an infringement on the right to keep bare arms. Now, by the way, you say, oh, powder and guns and ammunition. I mean, what the? I mean, you can get the guns, as the guy told you in the store, but the ammunition is a point. Okay, so here's the deal. That's what started the problem on the 19th of April in 1775. They were going to pick up the ammunition, the powder and ball. That was what started the revolution. Now, by the way, the king's officers had done this in at least two other instances I'm thinking of where they had gone and diminished the amount of available ammunition. Oh, you only need so much for subsistence hunting. Therefore, we're going to limit the amount that's out there. So these are infringements. These are real-life situations. And I know, we got time to mention a little thing or two here. It's interesting to me that Patrick Henry talked about this in 1775. He said, I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging of the future but by the past. We've been down this path, people. That is the lamp that should guide our feet. Of course, just before he said that, he said, for my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. Well, okay, so people might get kind of upset with us for saying, oh, ain't it awful, often enough. But we need to understand when these infringements are occurring. By the way, just as another little example, now this happened probably a year and a half ago. I have a little distributorship where I have a relationship with a manufacturer that manufactures very high-quality ammunition. I mean, it's kind of like, hand-loaded specifically, very high-performance kind of stuff, only it's not. It's a manufacturer that makes it. And so I got contacted by some people that said, hey, we'd like to buy some ammunition. And I said, sure, okay. And I looked at my price list, and I go, oops, my price list's out of date. So I contacted the manufacturer, and I says, will you send me a new price list? And they said, sure, we'll do that, but let's just caution you that if you take an order today and make it with us, we will not be able to deliver for 1 year. So here we have this kind of thing. Real world, that happened to me specifically. I contacted the people back that had contacted me, and I says, you know, we'll get you the stuff, but it'll take a year. And they said, sorry, we're going to go see if we can find it somewhere else. I'm confident they bought from a lower quality manufacturer somewhere that had a higher production rate than the guys I was dealing with. But nevertheless, that's a real fact of life right now. And if you had a confirmation over the weekend that that was the case, by the way, I'm going to, you know, if you want to come back to this or don't, it's okay. Over the weekend, probably Sunday, it was the 80th anniversary of the Great Escape out of a POW camp in Poland. And maybe you didn't see it, Sam, you're too young, but in 1961, I believe it was, no, 63, I think, 63, the Great Escape movie, Steve McQueen, and, you know, all of the big names that were in that, there was a movie about it, and it wasn't totally accurate as most movies you could acclaim with them, but in 80 years ago, a whole bunch of prisoners of war dug their way out of a prisoner of war camp. All but three were killed, virtually all of them were captured. All but three were killed, I guess I should say. Pretty tragic outcome. But why do I bring that up? Because this is what tyrants do. They put people in gulags or in prisoner of war camps or in concentration camps. And the right to keep and bear arms is a pretty critical issue to keep that from happening. So anyway, I mean, it all, you know.
Yeah, it's a long movie. It's 2 hours and 52 minutes, my friend.
It didn't seem like it was that long when I first watched it or ever any time since then. I mean, it captured you, you know. Even in fact, it had much to do with my interest in dirt bikes and racing. I raced for a while back in the 60s. And Steve McQueen's jump over the barbed wire fences was fascinating to me. But at any rate, it was a real life thing that happened. I mean, I don't know about the jump, but I do know that the escape happened 80 years ago. To get their freedom, these people risked it all. By the way, it wasn't the worst POW camp in history. It had a lot of amenities that most didn't have. But nonetheless, these people... See, if you're in the military, you have an assignment, and it's to take the battle any way you can to impose it against the enemy. And even when you're a POW, that does not stop. And so if you escape and they have to put personnel against that to find you and capture you, you've taken people away from another aspect of their military operation. So everybody tries to do their part. That's what these guys were doing. So there's a lot of lessons for us. Whether it's what the BATFE did under Obama or what they're doing with Biden and his thing and Trump and his thing and what it's done to manufacturing or what happened in 1775, this all is kind of interwoven together as something that we ought to be able to say, not going to happen on my watch.
Amen to that. Have you seen The Great Escape 1963 movie is my question, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a serious question. Because, look, we got to understand this is what's happening. And I hate to attack Donald Trump on this because I think Donald's done a lot of good in many ways, but he's done a lot of damage in other ways that I don't think people are realizing and putting the dots together. Look, this DOJ is unconstitutionally announcing a new government program to promote, on the federal level, red flag laws. Now, that conflicts with everything we know. But see, Trump says take the guns first, due process second. So they're just saying we'll take Trump Tower first and we'll do due process second. Are you surprised, Donald? All right, here's a question for you. We'll answer this when we get back, by the way. Who is RFK Jr.'s potential VP pick, Nicole Shanahan? We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. Russian authorities are confirming a total of more than 140 dead in the wake of Friday's terrorist attack in Moscow. It happened during a sold-out rock concert. Gunmen opened fire into the crowd. ISIS-K claiming credit for the attack.
And in fact, what we know to be the case is that ISIS-K is actually, by all accounts, responsible for what happened.
Vice President Kamala Harris. Meanwhile, there's a memorial growing outside the concert hall where the attack happened. USA's Laura Winters.
They started shooting people with automatic weapons at random and setting off explosives, which started a massive fire. Russian authorities arresting 11 suspects. Hundreds of people gathering outside the concert hall Saturday night to mourn the victims, lighting candles and leaving teddy bears and other stuffed animals and notes at the scene.
The White House is expecting an Israeli delegation to arrive in Washington, D.C. for high-level talks this week. President Biden invited a team of Israeli officials to visit during a recent phone call with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. At the same time, House Speaker Mike Johnson has said that he wants to invite the Prime Minister to speak to Congress about the conflict against Hamas in Gaza. Gale force winds could be to blame for more than 100,000 power outages in the far northeastern U.S. On Sunday night, power outages were widespread across much of coastal southwest Maine. According to the website poweroutage.us, there were more than 116,000 utility customers without electricity as of 9 p.m. Sunday. Pressured to address implications about a potential gambling scandal, Los Angeles Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani is set to speak to the media for the first time on Monday. These the first public statements being made by Ohtani since news of his former interpreter's case surfaced. This is USA News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Attention collectors and savvy investors. We are excited to announce a momentous evolution in our journey. Introducing Freewater Coin Company, formerly known as Rust Coin and Gift. This rebranding takes us back to the very roots of where it all began, Freewater, Oregon. It's a tribute to the legacy of Al Rust and a celebration of three generations of dedication and excellence in the world of coins and precious gifts. Al, Brian, and Jake Rust standing strong through 64 years of service. Discover a world of exceptional service at Freewater Coin Company, your premier destination for genuine, honest money and precious gifts. Under Brian's expert guidance, Freewater Coin Company, building on the legacy of Rust Coin and Gift, continues its tradition of trust and excellence. Visit us at our Provo, Utah location. Explore our treasures online at rustgoldandsilver.com or call us at 801-377-1574. Freewater Coin Company, where your future is built one honest coin at a time.
Okay, before the the break, Sam mentioned an upcoming announcement by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in regards to who his running mate will be in his election attempt. There has been speculation. There's been discussion. I mean, a bunch of names have been kicked around the block. Jesse Ventura, the former Minnesota governor, has been on the list, at least in discussions. And New York Jets star quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's been Mike Rowe, the guy that was in Dirty Jobs on TV. I mean, all those kind of things. The movies, not movies, it was a TV series about yucky jobs that nobody'd want to have. At any rate, the speculation has come to focus on Nicole Shanahan. And she's I'll tell you why I got some initial interest. I did not see the commercial because I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but I have since looked at it and I reviewed it a number of times. She helped fund RFK Jr. commercial during the Super Bowl. They were like $7 million, I think, for 30 seconds, and she put $4 million into it. Holy cow. I mean, that's a big one-time payment, I'd say, but it piqued my interest when I tried to look and see who she was. I discovered, now this is what some of the headlines were saying, she's the daughter of Chinese immigrants. Now, you won't know my interest about constitutional, you know, issues, and so I thought, Chinese immigrants, I wonder when that hell happened. Well, her mom came to China in the 1980s, they say 2 years before Nicole was born. Well, okay, 2 years is not long enough to obtain citizenship. Her father is a little bit more difficult to track anything down on. He died about 10 years ago, if my investigation has shown anything. But he's kind of, there's not much information.
Let me just stop you there. When there's not much information, that's a bad sign, people, because I'm telling you right now, I'll give you an example. I can get a name and a phone number on almost anybody in the United States. But the more elite you are, the more protected you are, the more insider status you are, the more money you have, the harder that becomes, doctor.
Well, but, you know, I don't put him in an elite issue, but I do put Nicole in an elite status. If he died 10 years ago and they say he suffered from bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, well, you know, it was probably a pretty bumpy road for his life. And in fact, it gave Nicole and her mom a bumpy road. And it's a rags to riches story in many ways. But the fact of the matter is she's married well a couple of times. And she's considered a lawyer, an investor. She's got a foundation that she does. And by the way, my first initial when I reviewed this included things that they did this foundation on was issues for reproductive rights, which normally, if you go to the United Nations, what's reproductive rights? It means abortion. And I thought, And she may be very, you know, supportive of abortion. But the more I investigated, it seemed to be more in extending the longevity of women that as they age to being able to get pregnant. Okay, so maybe she's looking on something on, you know, a lot of people put their pregnancies off. They have careers and college and goals in life. And you know, by the time they're 50, they're saying, hey, maybe it's time I had a kid. And maybe they're doing that kind of investigation. I can't tell from what I've been able to discern at this point, and somebody ought to do some investigating. But she has had a couple of well-funded husbands, and she was married to Google co-founder Sergey Brin from 2018 to 2023.
And let me stop you there. You know, how does she even meet a person like that? Number one, and number two, that's not a good sign. This guy got tons of money from the government to build one of the greatest high-tech violate your privacy companies on the planet, now involved in election fraud.
Well, that's the thing, is the 2020 election, it seems to, you know, be strongly indicated that they put about $400 million against Trump during that time. So I mean, some of these things, and by the way, I mean, how do people, I don't know how many billionaires you know, Sam, but let's just put it this way. It was rumored, denied by both Nicole and Elon Musk, that a brief affair between Nicole and Elon Musk occurred, and that caused the divorce. Now, and Musk, by the way, says, hey, look, Sergey's a good friend of mine. We talk regularly, and it didn't happen, and there was no romance and all this kind of stuff. And you know what? I tend to probably say, okay, let's give him a pass on that, because maybe there's nothing going on, and it's just been
Well, and without evidence, though, there's all kinds of right. allegations everywhere. If they're both denying it, I need to see evidence or whether it's true or not. I'm not going there.
That's right. And so I'm saying, but you know, just the fact that they're friends, I mean, Sergey Brin has like $95 billion or something like that, and I think they signed a...
And Elon Musk has more than that.
Oh, he's got double that probably.
So the question becomes, is Nicole a gold digger? Everybody she seems to meet is richer than all snot, right?
Well, you know, I don't know, but here's the deal. I mean,
I'm just wondering, do you always fall in love with a rich person? Every time?
You know what? Okay. If you marry for money, it's the hardest money you'll ever earn. I mean, that's just a truism that I use in life. But at any rate, she's a political newcomer. But on the other hand, let's just talk about this for a second. Okay, we've talked before about constitutional eligibility. If she really was or is the daughter of people that were not U.S. citizens at the time of her birth, the Founding Fathers' perspective was that her place of birth is the United States, but her true citizenship is not.
In other words,
founded.
Her allegiance via her family, the strongest ties she has in this world, are the country of origin for the parents.
Well, she,
that is the quintessential point, right?
They came out of Red China. Now, babies probably don't come politically wired, okay? But the fact of the matter is, it is not, if that's the case, it is not a constitutional natural-born citizen according to the definition of the American Founding Fathers. Now, they attribute birthright citizenship to those born here, but that is not natural-born citizenship. So that's a red flag to me.
And I have a problem with the birthright citizenship too, though.
Oh, this Plyler v. Doe nonsense from 1982 that the Supreme Court came to a decision that you get here as a non-citizen, have a baby, the baby is actually a birthright citizen.
Yeah, see, I don't agree with that.
That was never, and if you go back and look at Vattel's book that he wrote that the Founding Fathers used as defining the law of nations, that was the title of the book, by the way, it was, if you get born here to people that are not citizens, it is the country of your birth, but not your citizenship. So anyway, that was a big thing to me. I need to know more information. Perhaps her dad had arrived earlier and become a citizen. I suspect not, because the first headline I read about her was daughter of Chinese immigrants, which, you know, but if her dad was schizophrenic and bipolar, you know, a lot of people are not cogent at that, you know, under those conditions, and he may not have ever even applied for citizenship, but maybe his dad was. Okay, so these kinds of things, I think, need to be dug up. But from Kennedy's motivation to do this, first of all, he has got at least, according to his statement, about $15 million he's got to come up to get ballot access in all the states. You got to have ballot access, or it's all exercising futility. Because, first of all, nobody can vote for you. And second of all, because you can't get the electoral votes if, in fact, you're not on the ballot. So if she's got big bucks, and apparently she does, if she can put $4 million into a commercial that's 30 seconds long, that speaks a lot about it, okay? So there's that. There's the issue of California. They got 54 electoral votes. She's from California. By the way, the announcement tomorrow is going to be made in Oakland, California. Oakland, California is her city she grew up in, okay? So that kind of ties in there. On it was March 13th, if I recall, the domain name KennedyShanahan.com was registered March 13th. So there's a lot of things that are kind of pushing us in that direction of thinking it's going to be her. I'm guarantee it's not going to be Jesse Ventura or the Jets quarterback or Mike Rowe. I mean, I'm pretty confident of that. But there's a lot of things that would indicate this is going to be the announcement tomorrow, and that's all well and good. If she wins or helps him win, oh, let me just also make a clarification too here. This is not unprecedented in the Kennedy world.
Go ahead and skip the break. I don't think there's a chance RFK Jr. can win, though.
Well, okay, but you know what? Here's the historical.
He can take enough votes away to skew the elections in whatever direction, you know. But I don't believe that he can win.
But here's the deal: both the Bidenites and the Trumpites are calling him a spoiler, because you're exactly right. It may skew things. But here's something John Kennedy did, John F. Kennedy, in 1960. If the Kennedys are nothing else, they are politically astute. I mean, they have been political animals since their dad, you know, or granddad and everybody. And so they've played the political game. And they've been born and bred to be president of the United States, is kind of what Joe Kennedy wanted for his boys.
But yeah, and of course, as Americans, we stand against that. We don't believe there are elites, right?
I agree. But the Kennedys have been politically astute for many, many decades. And back in 1960, John F. Kennedy counted noses, if you will, electoral votes. And he saw where the swing states were and the battleground state, all those kind of things that they talk about today. And he did a very astute review and said, we can't win without Texas. And even though LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, and John F. Kennedy were absolute the antithesis of friends in the Senate, he said to Bobby, his brother, called LBJ, we got to have him as a running mate. And Bobby said, no, ain't no, don't go down that path. There was a huge pushback from Bobby. That was Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s dad. There was huge pushback against John. They said, John says, nope, do it. We can't win without Texas. With the way things were lining up, if Texas didn't fall in the Kennedy camp, they were not going to be elected. So Bobby Kennedy did it, and I believe it was a big mistake. I believe it was a fatal mistake, actually, ultimately. But they did win the election, and he got in office. Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I don't think that's lost on him. I think that he knows he's got to have some big electoral votes. California has the biggest bundle of electoral votes in the nation. They're the largest bundle in the nation. They got 10% of the electoral college. So they got, well, it's just over 10%. But 54 votes in the electoral college. And so I think he's going to play that card. I think that her money is going to bring a lot to this, because he can probably get on all the state's ballots with her help. If she can spend $4 million on 30 seconds, she can spend $15 million and get him on all the ballots, okay? So I think that's probably entered into it. She's never held political office, according to what I've looked at. But I think, to a degree, that can be good in that she doesn't have political baggage. Like, I took a stand here, and it was the wrong thing, and it offends people. And again, she doesn't have that political boost, if you will, if she's taken stands that have been favorable to some people. Again, I was really quite put off by this reproductive rights thing that it's a research company, a foundation, has put money into reproductive rights. And again, I was put off by that, but I'm not so sure I should be at this point. If she's working on research that helps women have children later in life. I mean, you know, hey, you know.
But you know what this reminds me of? You know what this reminds me of? You know, this girl, Kim, that's Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend at this point, was married to Gavin Newsom.
That's right. Absolutely.
And now all of a sudden she's kind of switched. Okay. And so you kind of go, what? These girls are not to be trusted, doctor.
Well,
look,
you know,
when you don't have any experience in politics whatsoever, when you have questionable lineage to literally be a naturally born citizen, when you literally everybody you've ever dealt with, you come out of nowhere and you marry money over and over and over again, There's allegations of affairs and all this kind of stuff. Now, hey, maybe you can't take those to the bank, but you look at that and you go, there's just nothing to trust here. What's a value that you can hang your hat on to give her any credence at all at this point? Nothing.
Well, other than the Electoral College and the money, I think you're right. But, you know, back in 54 years
ago. The risk is too great is my point. You can't go with unknowns. You're talking about the second in command at the United States, the greatest country on the face of the earth. You can't take those kind of chances.
Well, you know, it's like Kamala Harris. It's like, what in blazes are we going to do if she becomes
president?
Well,
she's virtually a similar character, right?
Well, Kamala.
Now, I know they have maybe different politics, but who knows? What are Kim's politics? Were they Gavin Newsom's politics, or are they Donald Trump Jr.'s politics, or does politics not matter, right?
Well, Nicole Shanahan has made large donations to Democrats in the past. In fact, she donated to Bobby Kennedy when he was running as a Democrat. She expressed her dismay when he decided to go independent, and now she may be his running mate. Now, we may be talking up the wrong tree. He has somebody else in mind he's going to announce tomorrow in Oakland.
Well, there was a bunch of candidates announced, and this is the only one that's kind of stuck to date so far, right?
Right. But, you know, 54 years ago, I was stationed in the Deep South, and they have an old saying there, say, what? I mean, it's just kind of, it has to be, you know, you get the inflection of the voice. And that was my initial thought was, say, what? And this.
My response was, who the heck is she?
It's right.
Hey, look, nobody knows her.
They don't, but.
Nobody knew Obama. Money, look how disastrous that was, right? Nobody knew Kamala.
Yeah, Obama, absolutely. I mean, Kamala was the party girl. That's why she went to every party. I mean, I'm not talking about Democrats and Republicans. I'm talking about, anyway, you guys get the image. But the point of the matter is that she may be the one that's brought in, and it may be a marriage, quote unquote, I mean, this is a euphemistic term, a marriage of some kind
necessity.
Of benefit that he's looking for.
Necessity, because otherwise his campaign's DOA because there's no money to promote it, and the media hates him, and the Democrats jettisoned him, right?
Well, the thing is that it's very effective in the way Biden's bleeding him dry right now because he's got to think about it. He lost an uncle and a dad to assassinations. His dad was killed in California. I mean, I remember that well. I was working in Montana. I was managing a service station there, if you can believe that, in June of 1968 when Bobby Kennedy was killed. And, you know, everybody carries, you know, their own little communications device now, and it's in their hand most of the time and not even in their pocket. So it wasn't like, I mean, here we're in backwater Montana, and to discover it, I mean, I was kind of a political anyway back in 68. And but it was something that still had to be a feed from large major stations, you know. And I knew a couple of girls whose one of the girls' parents owned probably one of the upscale hotels in the area. And they had a kind of a television day room, if you will, kind of thing that the TV was on all the time with news feeds of the sort of the day. Anyway, so I got off work. I was working 15, 16 hours a day, but that was my first word about Bobby Kennedy. But it was another political, I mean, we get Bobby Kennedy, we get Martin Luther King, we get John F. Kennedy. I mean, all of these things that are happening, what's his name? Wallace. I mean, there was an assassination attempt on him. I mean, all of these things are like, what the heck is going on?
And I believe the Democrats literally doing RFK Jr. so that he doesn't have a chance to compete in the primaries. And then for Joe Biden to not deliver protection for him and his family at this stage. Both of those are election fraud. Both of those are designed to make sure that a candidate cannot get off the mark, if you will.
Exactly. But it's being played against Trump, too, by the powers that
be,
with this $500 million thing. I mean, you know, really, $500 million to say, now I can appeal? Are you kidding me? Say what? As they said in the Deep South when I was stationed down there. But at any rate, this Nicole Shanahan, I really do think, it piqued my interest initially because of the statement that she was a big contributor to the ad. It piqued my interest that she had been married to Sergey Brin, it piqued my interest that she had been linked to Elon Musk. It piqued my interest that she has, you know, these political ties to people in terms of money. But and that then it was the thing that really killed me was the Chinese immigrant thing.
And then it piqued my interest that who is this person? No one knows her. Why would you ever pick her? And now all the details that you dig up explain why.
Well, that's an enigma. I mean, there's a lot of enigmas in the world today to me. And I can, in a way, see Kennedy's, he's got to have money, big money. He's got to have a lot of electoral votes. And
But where does she get tons of money?
Well, the marriages. She's a brilliant person.
The Democrat marriages. You got this big, massive Democrat money, but yet the Democrats hate Bobby, your RFK Jr. And you go, what is the deal here? In my opinion, there's a plan afoot. Joe Biden might even be behind Bobby Kennedy now.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, what can I say? But just, I don't want to impinge upon her native intelligence either. I mean, and this is a strange little twist too. And I don't know as we can make much of this thing, but she's got a bachelor's degree. Her studies was Asian studies, economics, and Mandarin Chinese. So I mean, China's a big looming thing right now in our whole everything, our economy, our politics. You know, I mean, you think about the things that China is doing, the Taiwan thing and all this kind of stuff coming up. Anyway, she got this Asian studies kind of degree with a focus in economics and Mandarin. And I got a son, by the way, that speaks Mandarin. So does that make me suspect? No, I don't think so. It's a fascinating, it's a big language in the world today. But anyway, she's of Chinese descent, potentially. Both her parents were immigrants, recent immigrants, before she was born. The records, there's some questionable records as to when she was actually born.
Well, and the pattern, though, of these people, these foreigners come to the nation, next gen, you know, their parents come, they're next gen immigrants, and instantly they're at the top of the heap, plenty of money, and they're the ones leading the parade. There's something wrong with that, whether that's the case with her specifically. I don't think it's the case in every situation, but man, that pattern cannot be denied or overlooked.
Then she got a law degree, okay? So she's a bright person intellectually, I think.
Oh, I'm sure she is.
Intelligent, articulate, and so she can probably, I would venture to guess that I've never heard her speak, okay? So I'm just making a supposition here, but I would, if I were putting my money on it, she's an intelligent, articulate individual.
Oh, there's no question.
Can probably speak well to the Kennedy message, which is nothing you could ever say about Kamala, about any message. But I mean, her word salads are completely indiscernible from unintelligible. but I'm betting that this woman, if she is selected, is an intelligent, articulate individual, well-spoken and able to deliver the message.
You're going to have Biden pick Tulsi Gabbard and replace Kamala. You're going to have RFK Jr. pick Nicole. And then now which woman is Donald going to pick? Because, see, now it's the battle of the women, right?
You know, it's interesting. What's her name? Associate Justice Jackson. Anyway, she has proven herself to be a poster child against affirmative action hires. This woman is not qualified to cross the street alone, and she got picked, Biden said, because she was black and a woman. I think
there
we ought to pick based on qualifications and value that's there. So anyway.
Imagine that. So now there's nobody you can vote for, ladies and gentlemen. How do you like them apples? All right,
let's
folks.
Let's keep our eyes open tomorrow. Let's watch.
Amen to that. We'll do it. We promote God, family, and country, ladies and gentlemen, everywhere we go, all the time. And we use the supreme law of the land as the yardstick. The constitutionality of things matter in the greatest country on the face of the earth. God, family, and country matters. For Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, I'm Sam Bushman, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. God save the Republic of the United States.